And now, in our study today, we are going to look at Genesis chapter 48. Chapter 48 of the book of Genesis, and while some of you may be getting your Bibles ready, let me bow and commit ourselves to God in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again as we turn to the sacred page. Our desire is that we might be instructed from Thy Word. So we do pray that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt speak to all our hearts. For those who need a word of encouragement, wilt Thou grant that today. And O God, we do pray that Thy blessed Son shall be exalted as the result of the ministry of this broadcast. We ask it in the Savior's own worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, when we come to Genesis chapter 48, actually, we're looking now at what we might call a deathbed scene. We enter into the sick room of an old man. He's just drawing near to the end of his days. The very thought of that would suggest that there might be some kind of sadness or a great amount of sorrow that an old veteran is about to leave this scene and pass on. However, while that may be our first reaction at the thought of this chapter, I'm going to suggest there's another way in which it might be viewed. We might look at Genesis chapter 48 as a beautiful sunset to a stormy day. I think you will admit with me that to trace through the life of this man who was called Jacob and had his name changed to Israel, that his life was one of many storms. He had many ups and downs in life. He had trials and temptations. He had his ins and his outs, his days of gladness and his days of sadness. It was a life in which Jacob had faced the storms. However, after the storms have passed, it seems the sun has come out, and here is a beautiful, beautiful sunset to a stormy day. Let me view the chapter from another point of view. I don't know how many of my listeners have had the privilege of visiting a pottery, but I recall being in a pottery on one occasion and being taken through with a guide and things explained to us. I shall never forget the first place we went into. There were some men working there in that room. It was a dirty old place with great lumps of clay lying around, red clay. And some of the ladies who were with us that day kept well back, because these men who were working with the wet clay couldn't prevent, as it were, some of the clay from splattering around. And these ladies, being dressed with their summer dresses on, didn't want them spoiled. We didn't spend much time in that first room, but these men were working with the dirty old lumps of clay, and some of them had them on the wheels and spinning them round. We went on from one department to another. We saw the vessels being shaped. We saw them being put in the furnaces. We went into another place where we saw some hand decorating being done, and finally these vessels were glazed and fired. And the last place we came to was the display room. Now, if we didn't spend too much time in the first room, where they were working with the clay on the wheels, I can assure you The ladies spent a lot of time in the display room, where the final articles were on display and some were up for sale. They were beautiful. But what I'm trying to impress on all our hearts today is this, that before these vessels could be put on display, they had to be shaped. They had to be put round the wheels. They had to pass through the furnace. They had to be hand-painted and glazed, fired, and ultimately a vessel fit for display. May I suggest, in reading through the book of Genesis, from chapter 27 right to the end, we're seeing a man that God fashioned. God was like the potter. Jacob was like that dirty old piece of clay. God took him up in his hand, so to speak. He worked with him. He fashioned him. And then ultimately, he made him the man he wanted him to be and was able to put him on display. When we come to chapter 48, I have suggested it's like a beautiful sunset to a stormy day. I suggest also it's like the display room where Jacob is put on display and we're able to admire the features and characteristics that were developed in this man. Let us go a little further. As we seek to consider what God did with Jacob, we should also be prepared to consider this, that what he did for Jacob, he can do for each of us. And God can develop in our lives the very features that were developed in the life of Jacob. Now I'm going to suggest to you that feature number one is the feature of faith. We see in chapter 48 Jacob as a man of faith looking upward. Now remember, early in Jacob's life he had relied upon his own cleverness. You will remember, we have stressed this particular feature again and again every time that something came up with regards to Jacob. He was a very clever man, naturally clever, and for years Jacob relied upon his own cleverness. But now, having reached full maturity, he has learned to trust God. You see, there's a great difference between relying upon our own cleverness and relying upon God. We learn to trust God, to cast all our weight upon Him. Faith is that which will always count on God. And Jacob, in this chapter, in the room where he's going to die, on his deathbed, the Spirit of God seems to impress upon us this glorious fact as He puts Jacob on display. We're looking now at a man of God, a man who can express his faith in God. Let us look a little at the verses that show this. If you have your Bible before you, look at verse 3 of chapter 48. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. Notice then in verse 3, he attributes his blessings to God, not to his own cleverness. Now you say, why does he mention that here? Now let me remind you of something. What he's saying here, as recorded in verse 3, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz. Where was that and when was that? You will remember back in chapter 27, Jacob wanted the blessing. But to get the blessing in chapter 27, he depended on his cleverness combined with his mother's cleverness. And the two of them, his mother and him together, were prepared to deceive his father Isaac in order to obtain the blessing. He could have cast the burden upon God and waited for God to work it out his way. But no, he wanted to obtain the blessing by his own cleverness. But when you come to chapter 28 of the book of Genesis, when Jacob was running away from home because that his brother threatened to kill him, it was at that time that God Almighty appeared unto him at the place that he called Luz, which afterwards became Bethel. And there it was that God appeared unto him and said, Jacob, it was there that he blessed me. It was there, you will remember, that God said he would be with him and he would protect him and he would bring him back again into the land of promise. Now Jacob is looking back here, and remember at this time he's down in Egypt, but he says that all his blessings are traced back to God, the God that appeared unto him, first of all, at Luz. So he attributes his blessings to God. I suggest to you, there is the expression of faith. He now sees himself in a true relationship with his God. But when you come to verse 11, he says something else about this. Verse 11 reads, "And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." Now try and get the two sides to this verse. He's thinking now not so much of ordinary blessings. He's speaking here in terms of abundant blessings. For example, he says, "There was a time when I had not thought to see thy face." Now you remember where that was. When his sons came home that day and brought with them the coat of many colors that had been dipped in the blood of the little animal that had been slain. And when Jacob saw it, he thought, "Surely my son Joseph is dead, and I won't see him again." Now he's reminding Joseph of this, and he's saying, "There was a time, Joseph, when I had not thought to see thy face." That was the time when he was saying everything was against him, and the burdens were heavier than he could bear. He was just looking forward to the time when he would go down to the grave with grey hairs. But now he says a change has taken place. God was behind it all. God was working in the circumstances of my life. And now he says, God has showed me also thy seed. Here was abundant blessings. It would have been a great blessing for Jacob if only he had come down to Egypt and had seen his son Joseph, or if Joseph had come back to the land of promise to his father's house and Jacob had welcomed home again his son Joseph. That would have been a blessing. But now he's saying, "God has showed me also thy seed." Here was an abundant blessing, for not only did he be reconciled and be reunited to Joseph and the rest of the family, but Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Oh, here was abundant blessing. Not only now does he have Joseph, but he has Joseph and his two sons. Now when you come to verse 15, he's still on the subject of blessing. At verse 15 it says, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day." He's still speaking of God's blessings. Not only is he thinking of blessing and abundant blessings, here in verse 15 there is a suggestion of continual blessings from God. He says, "It was God which fed me all my life long unto this day." Have you ever pictured Jacob that day when he was running away from home? All he would have in his possession was his staff and a little parcel, perhaps with some food in it and some oil for the journey, just a few things that he would need that he was able to carry. That was all he possessed, going away into a strange land. Yet he never lacked a meal. God fed him, he said, all his life long. He fed him for long 20 years when he was in Padan Aram. He provided for him on the way back. He looked after him when he came into the land. Even in the midst of famine, God provided him with such things as he was in need of. At least that is what Jacob is saying here. He said that day by day, all my life long, God has fed me unto this day. And when the famine came, and he was directed to go down to Egypt, he went down there, and for 17 years of his life, the last 17 years, as an old man, God has fed him. He's not telling us here the means that God used, but the fact is, he brings everything back to focus, and he says, it was God who did it. It was God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Continual blessings from God. Now, when you come to verse 20, you're still studying the subject of blessing. But this time, it's in a very strange setting. I term this intelligent blessing. Verse 20 says, "And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh, and he set Ephraim before Manasseh." Here was intelligent blessing. Get the picture. It's the two sons of Joseph. The one, the oldest, is called Manasseh, and the second is called Ephraim. And they're brought forward to their grandfather's bed. Now remember, at this time, Jacob's eyes are dim. He's an old man, practically blind. And Joseph brings his two sons forward. Now he brings the oldest one forward towards his father's right hand. And he brings his youngest one towards his father's left hand. He wants his father, Jacob, to bless now the two boys. That is, Joseph's two boys, Jacob's grandsons. But now, instead of Jacob placing his right hand on the head of Manasseh and his left hand on the head of Ephraim, he does something very strange, that is, to the natural way of thinking, but how spiritual it was, how intelligent it was. Intelligently now, he crosses his hands, and he lays his right hand on the head of the youngest boy, and he puts his left hand on the head of the oldest boy, the firstborn, and he pronounces the blessing. At that point, Joseph thinks it's wrong. Joseph wants to change his hands. "No," says his father, "I understand what I'm doing, and this is the way it is to be done." Now, why do I call it intelligent blessing? All right, go back in thought now to the time when Jacob wanted to get the blessing. Do you remember how, by his own cleverness, plus the cleverness of his mother, he endeavored to outwit his old blind father, Isaac? He also tried to outwit his brother Esau in order to obtain the blessing. If he had waited God's time, God would have seen to it that Jacob got the blessing in the right manner. Now here, Jacob is an old man, has learned how to trust God. Here is faith. Faith relying entirely upon God. He's able intelligently to cross his hands. One has said, here is the blessing of the cross. And the blessing came to the youngest. The blessing came upon the head of Ephraim. That doesn't mean there wasn't a blessing for Manasseh. Of course there was. But the firstborn's blessing is given intelligently to the second one, that is, to Ephraim. You see how Jacob had learned this truth over the years. As an old man, he's expressing his faith in God. He has learned how to trust God. Now, when you come to verse 21, he's still thinking of blessing, but here it is blessing in prospect. Prospective blessings from God. The God who blessed in the past, the God who is blessing in the present, is the God who will bless in the future. You see, he is a man of faith with complete dependence upon God. And he's saying, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Here is a man looking forward. He relies entirely now upon God. God has promised to Abraham. He has confirmed that promise to Isaac and reaffirmed that promise to Jacob. And Jacob now passes it on to Joseph, so to speak. And he says, God, in effect, will keep his promise. And there are blessings in view for you. There's a prospective blessing. God shall be with you even when I'm not here. He'll be the God of the succeeding generations. God will visit you, and there will be blessings in the future. You see, my friend, here is a man who, over the course of his years, has developed this great grace of faith. He's showing now that he depends entirely upon God. Now, let me remind every listener today. Faith is that link that starts us off in the Christian life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That being so, we go a little further. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man showing that attitude of peace with God because he has faith in his God. He is the man who can express it even in his closing days. His confidence is in the Lord.